I was going down for the last time. Seemed that no one heard my cry. And my voice was swiftly fading, for I was drifting with the tide. But then a hand from out of nowhere, oh, it gently slipped in mine. And I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. It was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep. Just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. Only God knows how long I drifted. Oh, but then I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. I don't remember drifting, for pleasure rode with me. You see, when careless winds start blowing, that's when you'll drift so easily. Now the storm knows no exception, and my friend, I've sure had mine. But I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. And it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep. Just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. Only God knows how long I drifted. I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God he found me
just in time.
And it was just in time. Now I was going down for the last time. Seemed that no one heard my cry, and my voice was swiftly fading, for I was drifting with the tide. Oh, but then a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped in mine, and I thank God Jesus found me
just in time.
And it was right on time. And it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep. And just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. Only God knows how long I drifted. Oh, but then I saw that old lifeline, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time. And it was just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep. And just before the angry billows had pulled me out too deep. God knows how long I drifted, but then I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God he found me, and it was just in time.
Hallelujah. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Praise the name of the Lord. The book of St. Matthew, I want to read just maybe two verses, and then we'll go to the book of Psalms, division 48, Matthew 6, and Psalms 48. Brother Bob, you will hear a few things that I said on Friday, because the sermon that I preached for the memorial service really got a hold of my heart. Had a great radio program yesterday on this theme. You know what? This morning I wanted the Lord to help me preach to mothers. I am so grateful for our mothers. And I really wanted to preach to them. And I tried hard, and I pushed hard. And it just wasn't what God wanted me to preach this morning. And so I'm going to preach what He gave me. Is that okay? I'm going to preach what He gave me. So read, if you would, with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We'll just read a couple of verses there. The disciples had asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. That's one of the greatest requests you'll ever make to God. Teach me how to pray. And if you do it and you mean it, He'll teach you how to pray. He really will. Matthew 6 and 7 says, after 6 and 9, I'm sorry, after this manner, therefore say, after this manner, therefore pray. Now listen carefully. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, never in my life had it rested to me, when I say the Lord's Prayer, that one of the most powerful things I say is, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, that to me really got a hold of my heart this morning. I hadn't thought of it in this fashion. But when you pray to God, you're praying to God who is in heaven. And I want to preach about that heaven this morning. I want us to get a new excitement about what's awaiting us over there. I want us to understand this world is, yes, almost totally now a trash can. Almost totally now a garbage disposal. It has turned to such wickedness until it's almost unimaginable how bad much of our world is. Now, there's a lot of good people. A lot of devoted people. I was thinking this week that I can remember the day when people who didn't even claim to be Christians lived better than folks today who do claim to be Christians. I can literally remember when the people who claimed no Christianity didn't go to church, but they lived better than much of the church world does today. That's how fast things have fallen. Now, let me read to you a little bit of Psalms 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. Now, notice this. The joy of the whole earth. The joy of the whole earth. I love that part. The joy of the whole earth. I really believe in Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. Hallelujah. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Now think for a moment before you're seated, that there is a city in the northern extremities of this hemisphere. There is a city so far away that the scientists have no idea. And they talk about the light years distance between here and that extremity. I don't know how right they are. It don't matter. I just know the Father, our Father, which art in heaven. And I can get on my knees right here in this church, and I can talk to Him, and I can know He hears me. I can talk to Him, and I can feel the response as it comes back from Him. Never forget, now let you be seated. Never forget the little boy that was out flying the kite. You may be seated. Let me let you do that. Listen to me now. This little boy was out flying the kite, and this atheist man came up to him, said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying the kite." The man looked up and he said, I don't see no kite up there. The little fella said, yes, sir, but I can feel the tug on the other end of the line. And the man got inquisitive. He said, well, boy, you believe in God? He said, I sure do, sir. He said, well, look up there and see if you can see him. He says, no, sir, but God's kind of like my kite. I can feel the tug on the other end of the line. Hallelujah. I can feel the tug on the other end of the line. Now, I want to preach to you this morning about this city of God. I want to name a few things that I hope you will never forget about this city of our God. The first thing I want to say to you, and you got to hear me, that city is literal. That city is real, and it's really up there. That city is literal. It's real, and it's really up there. And if it wasn't up there, this whole earth would turn to calamity. The lights would go out, and everything would cease to be. But there is a God who sustains the universe. There is a God who sustains the universe. And his dwelling place is the city of our God. That's what the Bible said. The city of our God. Great is that city. The joy of the whole earth. It's a beautiful place. And is on the sides of the north. The sides of the north. Now, everybody know that our world has much relationship with the north. The North Pole, everything about this universe, really. And so we know that there's got to be some power that sustains it, and we know who it is. It's the God who dwells in that little city. A little city. Can you receive that? Can you get a hold of that? That heaven is a real place. It was the Son of God who said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven. So I need you to grab the fact that heaven is a real place. There is a, we call it heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. It is so much the center of the earth. That when God chose the Jewish people, he gave them a capital and called it Jerusalem. And then when Jesus went back to heaven, he created another city. We call that New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. And even in the New Testament, he calls the church his spiritual Jerusalem. Four Jerusalems. The heavenly Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem in Israel, the new Jerusalem that Jesus has created. I'll say a little more about that. And then the church is called a Jerusalem. Now, listen to me. When Jesus came to the earth, where did he come from? The Bible says he is the eternal Son of God, who is, who was, and who is ever to be. The Bible calls him the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible calls him the first and the last, which is and which is to be. The Bible calls him so many names, the bread of life, the water of life, the word of God. The Bible calls him the great shepherd, the door. The Bible calls him so many wonderful names, so many wonderful names. Where did this great person come from? He came from heavenly Jerusalem. He came from heavenly Jerusalem. The Father chose his only Son. Called him then the only begotten Son. Because God begat him by the Holy Ghost. And he was born with a human body, a human structure, but he was still God. We talk about Jesus as the man God. He was both a man and he was God. The theanthropic person is a theological term. He is forever God and he's forever man. He is both God and man. He's man because he was born in Bethlehem. He's God because he came from heaven. Do you hear me? So heavenly Jerusalem gave us the Son of God to be our Savior. Oh, hallelujah. So, he came from heaven. Do Do you understand? He came from heavenly Jerusalem. He was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father, because God the Father begat him and sent him, and the Holy Ghost moved upon Mary as she conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost, without having a husband, without knowing a man. In fact, she was so confused when the angel told us all of this, she asked the angel a question. How can that be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. So get this message now and take it home with you. Heaven is so real that that's where Jesus came from. He came from heaven. The Father sent him. Look at what he said. He said, I speak not of myself, but the Father that sent me. He said, I am the bread from heaven. You remember him saying that? I'm the bread from heaven. He said, I am the bread from heaven. He said, I'm the light of the world. He says, I'm the door. He said, wonderful things. How did he say all those things? Because God the Father had sent him from the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, I love that. But Jesus spent 33 years approximately, and did all the work of the Father. Finally, he died on the cross. After he died, he was resurrected, right? Amen? Everybody know he was resurrected? Raise your hand if you know he was resurrected. He was resurrected, and then one day he led his disciples, or at least they went out to Bethany. Well, I'm sorry, the Mount of Olives, and they were out there to hear Jesus. I don't know how he planned that moment, but he planned that moment to be out there and for them to see him and speak to him. And you know what the Bible said? It's really kind of overwhelming. But the Bible tells us how he was standing there with his disciples. And I want to read it. I want you to hear it. Very, very important. Listen to me now. And while they looked steadfast, well, let's go to verse 9, Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. I mean, Jesus is standing there at the Mount of Olives. He's with his disciples, and he's there physically. They see his resurrected body. They know it's the same Jesus that they watched being crucified, but now he's been resurrected. It's been about 40 days, and they're listening to him. And suddenly, the Bible says, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, while they're looking toward heaven, that's where he came from, and that's where he's going back to. I love that. Oh, Brother Chambers, that's so simple. You really are being simple this morning. These simple things are those powerful things, church. These simple things will change your life. While they beheld him, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of sight. And they're looking up toward heaven. They're watching. Where'd he go? They're looking. Two angels stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. You see, keep saying heaven. Heaven's real, folks. Jesus came from there, and now we watch Jesus, and he's going back to heaven. And while they watched him, two angels stood by them and said, you're watching him go? Well, he's coming back again. Those angels said, as you have seen him go, so shall he come again. Now, I'm excited when I realize how real this whole Bible is and this whole idea of heaven is. It just overwhelms me. It thrills my very being. Hallelujah. To think that heaven is so real. Brother Bob, heaven always was real. But when mother went there, it really became real. Wow. If I could, I'd have counseled Mother's Day yesterday. I really would have. I'd have counseled. I said, no Mother's Day this year. We're going to put it off because I was just going through a little bit of hell, to tell you the honest truth. And so I just went home and said, well, all I know to do is start cooking. And so I started cooking. I made two pies and another chocolate cake. That was all I could do. I was out of it. I was ready to scream. I really was. And I just started cooking. And I started cooking until I got better. And finally got better. But you see, this is the first Mother's Day for me without mother. 62 years of those mother days, and she was always the special one. Oh, hallelujah. And Doris was always the special one. But you listen to me. I want you to know there's a heaven up there. And every saint, now hear me, this is very important. Every saint of God, every God-fearing person, every person washed in the blood of Jesus that has died. Every last one of them, from Adam until right now. Are you listening to me? Every last one of the saints of God, the good godly people washed in the blood that have died, are up there right now. They are conscious up there. They are having the joy of their life. They're walking all over heaven. They're seeing the beauty. You say, how big is heaven? A whole lot bigger than you have any imagination. This earth doesn't even have a whisper of the distance and the size that heaven has. Hallelujah! And every saint of God's up there. It's real. If heaven wasn't real, you wouldn't have an ounce of hope this morning. If heaven wasn't real, we wouldn't be able to rejoice in the death of our loved ones. If heaven wasn't real, we couldn't be excited about those good saints of God. Brother Buck, that rose of yours is up there, and I guarantee you she's shouting all over that place. I doubt they can keep up with her. Wow, wow. Her and Juanita are probably visiting hallelujah place. Somebody says to me all the time, my kids always talking to me, don't you want to go there? Don't you want to go there? And all I can think about is comparing there with there. And when I compare there with there, I don't care about going to those places, because I'm going to the city that has no end of beauty. I'm going to the city that's full of glory and joy. I'm going to the city that's heavenly and holy. Woo! How many want to go with me? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. Shake it big. See, heaven is real. And Jesus went back to heaven. Jesus went back to heaven. And when he got back to heaven, heavenly Jerusalem, right? What I'm talking about. The Father gave him a name as no other man on this earth has ever had. The name that will save a soul from sin and darkness in a moment of time. God gave him a name and said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now you remember, when you talk about a name that every person can bear and must make allegiance to, every name only that can save a soul, always remember that the person that name represents is in heaven. And they went over, Jesus did, to God's divine throne and sat down beside the Father in the temple in heaven. Now, I want you to think with me a minute. Some time ago, it's been several years, I did a study on the building of the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built. Now, listen to me carefully. Remember, God gave David the plan, King David, the plan to build the city, to build the temple. But God wouldn't let David build it. David had been a man of war. He'd fought too many battles. Probably because he'd been involved in some sin, too, that kind of marred his life. But God wouldn't let David build the temple. God let Solomon build the temple. And I did a study. It took me several weeks, Brother Dylan, doing a study on the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. And I came to realize that temple was worth billions of dollars in today's value. It was breathtaking, and it was an exact replica of the one in heaven. The temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built was an exact replica of the one in heaven. And when Jesus got back to heaven, he was He was brought into that temple by the Father and set on the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. And he's there pleading our cause. He's there praying for us. I got to study in that. And I wonder if Jesus is up there praying for us. Maybe some of the saints are up there praying for us. I don't know. How about studying that? Tell me, will you? Hallelujah. He's my studious one. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, folks. It's wonderful to talk about that heavenly city. But I want to tell you, if you think the temple in Jerusalem was something majestic, I can't wait for you to see the one in heaven. I promise you, it won't just be beauty to the natural eye. It'll be beauty to the whole being. It'll be something more than just something that looks worldly and beautiful. It'll be a place of such majesty that your whole heart will melt before it. You know, when they built the temple in Jerusalem, they couldn't let a stone be hewed or shaped in the temple. It had to be hewed and shaped over in the quarry. And when they brought that stone to the temple, it had to fit precisely. And they even made sheets of gold and covered the walls of that temple with sheets of gold. Now think with me for a moment. If you live back nearly 3,000 years ago and you was going to make a sheet of gold, you didn't have some press that you could run the gold through and it come out a sheet of gold. There were men who had to stand in their workplaces and take a big piece of gold and beat it until they made a sheet of gold out of it. And they would beat that great hunk of gold until it was a beautiful sheet, however big, whatever size, the location it was to fit in. And they couldn't hit it one time too many because they'd knock a hole in it, because it was kept hot. It was almost melted while they're working on it, and they're standing there in the heat of this great furnace, and they're beating those sheets of gold, and they covered that thing with sheets of gold that had been beaten. You see, the marvel of what happened with that temple is inexpressible, but what I want you to see is it was just a counterpart of the one in heaven. And you wait till you see that temple in heaven. You wait till you're walking down that golden boulevard on the way to the presence of God the Father, and you look at the distance, and there gleaming in the sunlight of the Lord Jesus himself is that great temple of God in heaven. Woo! I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to going. I'm looking forward to going. Is there a train leaving today? Hallelujah. Is there an airplane on the way today? Sometimes I just feel like that. Oh, what a city. What a place. What a marvel. So you understand now. You understand that it's a little city. You understand it's a real place. You understand Jesus is there. You understand your departed loved one is there. You understand. You understand. We're talking about something breathtaking and beautiful. It's worth giving your life for to go to that city. It's worth you saying this morning, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but the rest of me belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't wait till I hear him coming. I can't wait until I take that final trip to the place of such glory. What a day. Oh, what a day. Now, Jesus, before he left, said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's in John 14:1. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now you understand, there is heavenly Jerusalem. You got that? Everybody got that? Let me see your hand. I want to make sure I don't let nobody miss what I'm preaching. There's heavenly Jerusalem. There's earthly Jerusalem. That's in the country of Israel. Your president just recently moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem in Israel. The first of all the nations of the earth. I mean 200 and some nations. And we are the first that put our embassy in Jerusalem instead of Tel Aviv. It isn't quite there yet. Sometime in May is the day in which it's supposed to be established. Not there yet, but it's later on this very month. And we will have our embassy in Jerusalem. You understand? That's so beautiful, and that's so breathtaking, and that is so orderly in the revelations of the Bible that we know the King is coming soon. We know he's coming soon. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The city of New Jerusalem was not created when Jesus died on the cross. The city of New Jerusalem was not created when Jesus arose from the dead. The city of Jerusalem was not created until Jesus went back to heaven and sat on the Father's right hand. Are you hearing me? You're talking about a city that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square. You're talking about a city which has 12 foundations, and those 12 foundations are all a 1,500 mile square part of the city. So if you want to know how big the city is, you multiply 1,500 times 1,500 miles, and then you multiply that by 12, and you got the amount of living space in the city of New Jerusalem. It is breathtaking. It is breathtaking. And Jesus created that city because he died on the cross. Do you understand this now? It was the blood of the cross that created the city of New Jerusalem. Can you raise your hand to that one? I never said it like that before in my life. It got a hold of me. Well, I said it on the radio yesterday. It got a hold of me this week. It was the blood of Jesus that created that city of New Jerusalem. It was wrought by the blood because it is the redemptive city. Brother Buck, the devil has never put his feet in that city. And the devil never will. If the devil would show up at the gates of that great city, they'd turn him away. And literally, he would walk away in shame and disgrace with his head bowed. Because he can't go to that city, but you and I can go. Oh, somebody help me. Oh, we can go. He made that city for us. So we have heavenly Jerusalem, and then we got New Jerusalem, along with Jerusalem in the Middle East, and the church called Jerusalem. It must be special. It is special, hallelujah. The city of our God. The city of our God. Now, church, the world is living for stuff that don't mean a hill of beans. Do you realize the pleasures of this world last about seconds? You get through with one of the biggest pleasures the world's got and go home, and you're going to be tired and wore out and say, wow, I feel like I've been beat with a mean stick. And you've spent days in some place that the world hubbles and always bragging about, and you're tired and wore out, and you want to go back again. But when you get to that city, you'll never have to leave. Hallelujah. It won't be just a few days on a vacation. It'll be an eternal residence, an eternal dwelling place. Hallelujah. And the city of our God is a marvelous place, folks. The joy of the whole earth. Why isn't the earth rejoicing over the city of God? Would you raise your hand and rejoice over the city? Raise your hand and thank God for the city where we're going to spend eternity. Thank God for the great Jehovah God who is the sovereign power that rules that place. Hallelujah. Did you know? Listen, this is kind of overwhelming. When God had created the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God would leave heaven and go over to the garden and walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Heaven and the garden, which is the earth, were in close proximity. The whole second heavens is a result of sin. There wouldn't be no second heavens if Adam and Eve had not sinned. It would just be one here and two up there. And they'd be connected together. Well, it won't be long until we'll all be back connected together. Because the blood of the cross is going to wipe away those second heavens. And they're going to depart as a scroll when it's rolled up. As a result of a great windstorm. I'm here to tell you, we got so much waiting us until it's the most joyous and wonderful thing to imagine. That we are going to spend eternity in the city of God. And when we pray, our Father which art in heaven. God's trying to keep you acquainted with heaven. He wants you to get so connected to heaven that you got one foot down here and one foot up there. Hallelujah. I like to be like that. One foot down here and one foot in heaven. I'm trying to live that way more than ever, because it's all going to be over and it's not going to be long. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more to say about heaven. It's really overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. And it's our future hope. Oh, there's so many other things I could say about heaven. I got 3 pages. But I don't want to take you too long. It's Mother's Day. I know many of you probably going either to Mother's or they coming to your house. I imagine they're coming to some of y'all's house. Have you got the food already? If not, get home and get it ready. Because Mother's Day is important. Very important. But I want you to think about heaven. Now I want to move a little bit further for a minute. I want to talk about getting ready. We got a world that isn't ready for heaven. We got a world that doesn't even care much about heaven. We got a world that has never heard a preacher preach much about it. How long has it been since you heard a sermon on heaven? Don't raise your hand. Don't try to tell me. But how long has it been? I haven't preached about it enough myself, Brother Joseph. Joseph? I haven't preached about it enough myself. But I'm going to preach about it more. Because I'm telling you, it's waiting on us. Oh, hallelujah. A place so breathtaking and so beautiful and so wonderful. Not but one thing paves the road there from here to there, and that's the blood of Jesus. All you got to have is covered by the blood, saved by the grace of God, a new creature in Christ. That lady that was saved last Sunday morning, I looked at her face standing up here, and I said, you really got saved, didn't you? And she did. You really got saved. How long have you been waiting to get saved? A long time? I mean, it's wonderful. Brother Robert over here just got saved 2 weeks ago. How long have you been waiting to be saved, Robert? It's been a while, hasn't it? You waited too long. You do that. But finally, Steve, you just got saved 3 weeks ago, Steve. Are you made up your mind you're going to heaven, Steve? You're going to heaven? I mean, there's nothing else worth going to. You say, I'm going to a ball game. Well, ain't nothing wrong going to a good ball game. I don't want to go to these beer parlors. But I want to tell you something, church. We got somewhere to go to that's beyond measure. And that's heaven. And he's coming any moment. The trumpet could sound and the king could show up in the heavens above. Notice? And when we leave here, what way do we go if we're saints of God? We go up that way. Why do we go that way? Because that's where Jesus went. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand? We go back to heaven because Jesus went back to heaven. We go back to heaven because that's where Jesus came from. To die for us and to save us and to make a new creature out of us. Wow. Hallelujah. What a day. Bow your heads. I want somebody to sing, Jesus, sign my pardon. I'll get you to do it for me this morning, Ed, if you would. Jesus, sign my pardon. This I truly know. Took my place at Calvary. I want to sing it myself so bad I don't know what to do. Jesus, sign my pardon. This I truly know. Took my place at Calvary. Now I won't have to go. All my life I give him. He gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary. Oh, I remember when I got saved 66 years ago this past March. How many remember when you got saved? How many remember? You remember, dear lady, last Sunday morning. You remember 2 weeks ago, Brother Robert. You remember 3 weeks ago, Steve. I want somebody to be saved every Sunday in this church the rest of my life. I'm going to be a disappointed man if I don't have somebody saved every Sunday. It's time to get right with God. It's time to get right with God. And I want to tell you, listen to me. All you've got to do, if you mean business, if you've made up your mind, is give him your life. He has to have your life. He can't take this body of yours and clean it up and sanctify it if he don't have it. You got to give yourself to him. And then you got to trust him that by his blood, he's going to wash away your sins. And you got to be sorry for those sins. You got to tell him, I have sinned and I'm ashamed of my sins. I was ashamed of mine. I still sometimes repent over things that I was ashamed of when I got saved. Not because they haven't been forgiven, because I remember them and they were terrible. But I'm so glad they're gone in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Everybody standing, please sing it for me and just wait a moment and I'll give you an invitation. Sing it.
I was in sin's prison.
Oh.
Oh, so dark and cold.
Just a lost sheep.
Like a lost sheep wandering.
from God's
eternal fold.
Then the door swung open. And Jesus said,
and he spoke to me,
I have signed your pardon. You may now go free. Raise your hand and pray. All over this building, would you pray?
I truly cry no more.
Oh, I feel his sweet Holy Ghost. Run to the climbs of the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Hallelujah.
All my life I give to him. Sing it out. Hallelujah.
He gave his for me.
When he signed my pardon.
There at Calvary.
Singing that verse again. If you would like to say yes, this morning is my morning. I'm coming to Christ. I'm coming to the Savior. I'm accepting the pardon for my sins. Maybe you've done it in your heart already, but you want to confess it before the congregation, before the altar of the Lord. Step out and come. I'm coming to Jesus, Brother Chambers. I'm coming to Christ this morning. I'm giving him my life. Sing it all out. Sing it.
I have signed you.
Hallelujah. We're going to wait on you a few moments. We're not going to push you. Everybody's got to make up your own mind. Brother Chambers can't do it for you. Raise your hand now and sing it with her. Everybody's singing it. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Now I won't
have to go. Oh, yes. Nobody's going to embarrass you if you come to this altar. You'll just simply be loved. We'll pray with you. And Jesus will save you. Step out quickly. Or the devil can talk you out of it and say, I'm coming. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Anybody?
Jesus signed my pardon.
I want us to pray a little bit. We're not in a hurry. Father, every saint of God with a hand up high praying. Every saint of God with a hand up high praying. Hallelujah. I'm coming to Christ. I'm coming to get my pardon signed. I'm coming to let Jesus write his name in blood at the
in Jesus, my Savior forever. And he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. But then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.